In recent broadcasts, we have been studying God's laws on money and economic matters, and considering the prophecies about God's people's blessings when they obey, and their problems when they disobey. The importance of Americans studying and coming to a working knowledge of God's law can hardly be overstated. Paul wrote to another preacher by the name of Timothy, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works," or as the alternate rendering is in some Bibles, "that the man of God may be thoroughly perfected unto all good works." Christians, individually or as a nation, are just not fitted for good works unless they read, understand, and follow the Scriptures. Ignorance or disobedience of God's divine principles brings not good works, but evil works. We should be able to see that for ourselves if we but look around us. I am going to offer a new packet of literature for the month of April in just a few moments. But first let us consider a little further that passage in the prophet Haggai with which we closed last week. Haggai is near the end of the Old Testament, between Zephaniah and Zechariah. We read in the first chapter, after God's rebuke to the Israelites for wanting to, quote, live in their sealed houses and this house lie waste, in other words, wanting to live the good life while God's house was neglected and wasted, and then God told them what would happen. Verse 6, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." I mentioned our own situation. We sow much, we plan and work and build all over this nation, and although we have had great prosperity in the past, anyone with a sound mind can see that it is slipping away. The situation is desperate. The news media writes of, quote, unquote, higher prices. But the actual possibility is food shortage. Not enough food to feed our people. And if the situation continues, we could have an actual famine in the land. To Americans, that is almost inconceivable. We have always had an abundance, and our social habits are such that we feed the poor and the destitute, even if it means taxing some to give to others. And that works when there is food. But if there is no food, then it is not a case of money, it is a case of survival. God tells the Israel people in Haggai that the reason their harvests are reduced is because of their neglect of God's house. He says further, when they do get their wages, they put it in a bag full of holes. I listed a few of those holes last week. Perhaps I should repeat them in case you missed the implication. Here are a few of the holes in your bag of earnings. Income tax withholding, Social Security tax, hospitalization insurance, union dues, state income tax, state and city sales taxes, excise taxes, luxury taxes, all sorts of licenses, and on, with new holes being added and old ones enlarged. That God has a hand in this waste of your earnings is verified in verse 9. "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it." Or as the margin says, "I did blow it away." God goes on, "Why, saith the Lord of hosts," and here is his answer, "because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house." In other words, ye seek your own pleasure and your own wealth, and ye neglect God's house. Then God repeats what will happen. "Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit, and I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. America, Israel, has turned from God. Our people desire only to build their own house, to feather their own nest. They steal, and they lie, and they live in envy and greed. And God said to his people, when you do that, I will take away from you the very things you desire most. Your luxuries first, then even the necessities of life, because you refuse to hear and obey my word. The American people are certainly paid wages or pensions in a bag full of holes, and I didn't even mention the big one, inflation. Yes, inflation. For you folks on fixed or low incomes, you know inflation is one of the biggest holes. Your money buys less and less each month. Its purchasing power has been drained away through a hole called inflation. Now turn with me to the prophet Micah. In chapter 6, we find God again giving a warning to Israel that he would reduce the standard of living of his people because of their disobedience to his laws, especially his economic and money laws. Micah 6, verse 14, Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shall not deliver, and that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. In Haggai, he said he would blow it away. Here he says he will give it up to the sword. In America in this century, one of the greatest wastings of our assets and productivity has been by the sword. War or preparations for war use up a tremendous percentage of the labor and materials each year in America. This is labor and materials which then bring no benefit or use to the people. An example, of course, are tanks, military planes, missiles, millions of soldiers on active duty, eating up the substance of the land without producing anything. God said he would waste our substance with the sword. Verse 15, Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shall not drink wine. This is a reference similar to Leviticus 16, where God said to Israel, in case of their disobedience, Ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Part of the reason is given in Micah in the next verse. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels. Under Omri and Ahab, who were two kings in Israel, Israel worshipped the gods of the Canaanites and intermarried with the heathen people living among them, both of which are forbidden by God Almighty in his law to Israel. Other reasons are given in the previous verses in this same chapter. And notice, they are economic. They have to do with money and trade. God asks, verse 10, Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abomination? The margin says, the measure of leanness. That is a measure or a measurement which causes poverty. Now, as we have explained in previous broadcasts, all of our physical measurements used in trade, such as the ounce, the pound, bushel, pint, gallon, ton, and so on, are all set by law, and no one is robbed by false measures in that manner, except for perhaps a very few people. But the money measure, the value and purchasing power of money, which measures all things, is not set by law or by the United States Congress as required in the Constitution. Instead, it is set by the private bankers under the Federal Reserve System, and they adjust the value and the amount of money or credit in circulation to serve their own ends. Their end is, naturally, their own profit and prosperity. Since banks can prosper only when others are in debt and paying the bank interest, then their measure, the measure of money, would naturally be controlled by them to put the people in debt. No banker would try to establish methods to pay off or cancel all debts. That would be foolish. Not only would it put him out of business, but it would bankrupt him. So the privately owned Federal Reserve banking system, which controls all money and credit in America, handles and controls that money for the purpose of placing debts on the people and increasing the payments to the bankers. Anyone can see the results unless they are totally blind to what is going on in the nation. So here God charges that the measure of leanness, or the measure that causes leanness or poverty, is in the land. Verse 11, "Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights?" And as I just explained, this cannot mean the regular weights and measures of products. They are, in America, prescribed by law, and they are not deceitful. Verse 12, "For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins." And then follows the verse, "Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee," and so on. If they will not outlaw interest on debts, as God has outlawed it in the Bible, then God allows that interest, or usury as it is called in the Scriptures, itself to be their spoiler. God also gave another prophet to write on this subject in the prophet Amos, and here he speaks directly to the robbers themselves. Amos chapter 8 will begin in verse 4. "Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon," and that should be translated, "new month, when will the new month be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit." Notice again, they do not falsify the balances by law or change them. They falsify them by deceit. And here we are again talking of that balance that measures all other things, money. In that verse also, their method of robbery is exposed. They rob by time, by the month. Under God's laws, we are commanded to lend to the poor, as we read in previous broadcasts, but without usury or increase on that debt. Without interest, the debt does not increase. It does not put the debtor further and further under the power of the lender as the months and years go by. The debt is always the same or smaller. And then at the end of 7 years, any part of it remaining unpaid is canceled, and they are free from the lender. Instead, our unscriptural system allows the banker to lend to the individual, but the banker requires that individual to pay 2 to 2.5 times as much back to the lender in the case of home mortgages. In the case of municipal bonds and state and federal debts, the debt itself is never really paid off. Although payments are made and interest is paid, more and more bonds must be assigned to the bankers in return for their paper credit, and the payments to the moneylenders increase each year and each generation. In the case of the federal debt, just that part represented by bonds, the debt itself was only $2 billion in 1913, the year the Federal Reserve bankers took total control. Now, with their manipulations, the debt has grown and grown, so that the usury alone, the interest alone, is $4 billion every 30 days, or almost $50 billion per year. You young people who are paying these high taxes and face a future of spending half or more of each year working to pay those taxes, perhaps do not remember or perhaps never knew
the total 1944 budget under Roosevelt, and this was at a time when America had 11 million men in the military. Today we have less than 3, and we were fighting in Europe and Asia, and today we are not fighting at all, was a little over $40 billion. That's the 1944 budget. Now, one generation later, the bankers have the United States so far in their debt that we pay them more each year than that in interest alone. And they do not pay one soldier, nor one person on welfare, nor do they build a mile of road or a hospital, nor enforce the laws. But in all of this, we must remember the original error which gave them this ungodly system to rule over us is our own error. As God's people, we have God's law, and we should know not only that God's law forbids usury, but we should forbid its practice in our nation. In Leviticus 25, we are told when we lend, we are to take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God. God repeated that again in Deuteronomy, and in Deuteronomy 15, we are told further that at the end of every 7 years, any debts in the nation are to be canceled and considered uncollectible. In verse 4, God gives as part of the reason for such cancellation, to the end that there shall be no poor among you. But instead, we have ignored and cast aside the law of the Lord. We have permitted usury in the land, and we have come under the usurer's power. God said in Deuteronomy 28, that when Israel disobeyed, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Verse 43 and 44 of Deuteronomy 28. Then, if that still does not cause God's people to mend their ways, God warns further. Verse 48, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies. Verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far. And then God describes that nation. That warning is part of the reason I wrote the book, which you will receive in our April free packet. The title is, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America. Using other prophecies, I identify the nation God will bring against us. The ancient name of the people controlling Russia and world communism is in the Bible. God knew the end from the beginning, and he put it there, if we would but read it. But I want you to look particularly at just a few verses in Deuteronomy 28. Verse 1 through 14 are promises of blessings for obedience. Then verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Then verse 16 through 19 are predictions of general trouble in home, farm, and family. Verse 21 and 22 predict great sicknesses upon the people. With 300,000 people dying in America every year of cancer, and that is only one disease, that has come to pass among us. Reading on in Deuteronomy 28, verse 25 and 26 tells of defeat in war, and America no longer wins her military battles. Verse 30 foretells increased infidelity and sexual perversion, and the following verses tell of property taken from the people and given to their enemies. Today they call it foreign aid, but it still is American wealth shipped to alien nations. A similar verse in Leviticus 26 reads this way, verse 16, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. You folks in Central America and in the plains of Canada grow millions of bushels of grain, which are shipped to and consumed in Red Russia, Red China, and Cuba by our enemies. Is it possible? God Almighty is sending that grain to our enemies to fulfill His word. More verses foretell of incurable diseases, the eating up of vineyards and production by locusts and worms, And I'll have some more to say on that later, God willing, because these locusts are identified by one of the other prophets as aliens. Aliens allowed to come into Israel's land. And God alone knows how many aliens are now in America living on the U.S. taxpaying workers. They're called locusts in the Bible. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying, goodbye, God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.